Well, good morning. I've got one to go, two down, one to go. I haven't done a three service morning for quite a while. So we spent some time in Africa as missionaries of the United Methodist Church and learned some wonderful Swahili choruses. So I need to energize myself, and this will help me do it. I'll teach it to you. You can sing it with me. We're simply singing, He is good, Jesus, He is good. And that's why we're here, right? Yumwe ma ho, yumwe ma Yesu. Yumwe ma ho, yumwe ma Yesu. Yumwe ma ho, yumwe ma Yesu. Yumwe ma Yesu. Now that you know it, stand up with me if you're able, and we'll sing it together. Yumwe ma ho, yumwe ma Yesu. Yumwe ma ho, yumwe ma Yesu. Yumwe ma ho, yumwe ma Yesu. Yumwe ma Yesu. Anatu panda. Yumwe ma ho, yumwe ma Yesu. Yumwe ma ho, yumwe ma Yesu. Yumwe ma ho, yumwe ma Yesu. Yumwe ma Yesu. Asifiwe. Yumwe ma ho, yumwe ma Yesu. Yumwe ma ho, yumwe ma Yesu. Yumwe ma ho, yumwe ma Yesu. Yumwe ma Yesu. Thank you. People are driving by saying, I thought that was a Methodist church, not a Pentecostal church. That's actually a good segue into our thinking about our Wesleyan tradition this morning and hearing from the Word of God as we think about the church. The Wesleys developed a movement of renewal within the life of the church. That's how Methodism began, not as a church of its own, but as a movement of renewal. And the church is always needing to renew itself. So one way to think about our Wesleyan heritage and also to hear the gospel, more importantly, this morning, is to turn to the story of the earliest Christian community in the Acts of the Apostles. And that's where I turn with you now to Acts 2, beginning at verse 37. This is my own translation of the text, and I want you to listen for the word all. Jesus came and said to them, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, as you are going, make disciples of all peoples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all those things that I've commanded. And remember, I am with you through all time, even to the end of the age. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, did you hear four alls? There were four of them in there. All authority, all peoples, all teaching, and all time. These form something like the DNA, four strands of DNA that are important to our Wesleyan heritage and the way of the Wesleys. And all of them begin in that first one, kind of focus around that first all, when Jesus says, all authority has been given to me. All authority. There's a true story of a Swedish king by the name of Charles. They would say Carl there. Carl the 11th, 17th century. And he was on a hunting trip, I'll just say upcountry in Sweden, out in the middle of nowhere. But he was there over the weekend, and he wanted to make sure and worship in a Lutheran church on Sunday morning. So he knew there was a small village not too far away, a little church there, country church. And he had one of his messengers go late on Saturday evening, knock on the parsonage door. Pastor came out, immediately recognized this was somebody important from the royal house, and received the word that the king would be worshiping in his church in the morning. Well, you can imagine. I know how I would feel at that point in time if somebody that important was going to be in my worship service. He went to bed, got up the next morning, and of course the king and his whole retinue were there and filled in the church, pretty much filled half of the church with just those people. And the young pastor became a little bit flustered. Wasn't sure what to do. I've got this sermon I've prepared, but it's the king. And made the decision in the end to abandon his sermon and simply for 10 or 15 minutes praise King Charles XI. Well, 3 weeks later, a huge crate arrived at the church. The pastor was there with the sexton. They opened up this huge crate, and inside was a life-sized crucifix. And there was a note appended to it. By order of King Charles XI, this crucifix will be affixed to the post immediately opposite the pulpit. So whoever ascends into that pulpit in the future to proclaim the word of God will be always reminded of their proper subject. Jesus, my friends, is always our proper subject. That's where everything begins and everything ends. And the Wesleys discovered nothing other than the simple fact that in Jesus Christ, in his life, death, resurrection, in his ministry, in the whole Christ event, God's good news, God's love of us all, is boldly proclaimed and made real for us. That's the core. That's the hub. That's the center. That's our first all as we look at this DNA of our Wesleyan heritage. Jesus comes first. Now, these next three alls, I'm going to alliterate because I love to do that. It helps me remember things. Maybe it'll help you remember as well. And as I think about these other alls, they remind me of, as the title in your bulletin says, a message, a meal, and a mission. So we've talked about Jesus, but what about us? What is our role? What's our responsibility in all of this? So I want to look at the message, at the meal, and the mission. But I also want to link another set of three alliterated words with each of those. Healing, related to the message, hospitality related to the meal, and finally, holiness as it relates to our mission. All of these words are central to who we are as Methodist people and as followers of Jesus. So what about this next all? All peoples. Jesus says, proclaim the good news to all peoples. Don't leave any out. Exclude none. And this message that you proclaim, I want to claim, is really more about healing than anything else. If we think about our own personal lives, our life is a journey from brokenness to restoration. If we're honest with ourselves, all of us are broken. The language of Scripture is all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But we might say we're all broken. We all bring brokenness into this sanctuary this morning. We're not whole. So our salvation, the message of God's love for us, is that reality in our lives that moves us to wholeness, that heals us. Charles Wesley, in one of his Christmas hymns that you probably sang at Christmas time, says, Jesus comes with healing in his wings. I'll never forget a student of mine at Africa University in Zimbabwe, the first United Methodist University on the continent. I loved Sadie Bestman because he had come the furthest distance of any student to study there. He'd come all the way from Liberia on the west coast of Africa. And the part of the reason he came was because his country was in the midst of a horrendous civil war. And he used to really enjoy sitting down, enjoy's not the right word, learn from Sadie about being a Christian in that kind of a situation. In many conversations, I remember, for example, he told me on one day that it's as if in Liberia you drew a line down the center of a congregation, like this one here. And these people on this side were no longer a part of the church because they'd been slaughtered in the war. Over half the Methodist church was slaughtered in that civil war, targeted by rebels because they were educated. Methodists were known for their education. So you eliminate the educated quickly as possible. He shared stories with me I can't share here today, but the brutal murder of his parents, of his siblings, before his very eyes. But he said, I'm so excited because when I leave Africa University, I'm going back to Liberia and I'm going to be a part of a program that our bishop has started called the Program of Reconciliation. And he said, what we do is we're going to villages and towns and cities and we're going to teach people the skills of nonviolent conflict resolution. And he said, we know the place we have to start is with the rebels. We have to meet with those who have killed our family and explain these things to them and find a way toward peace together. I said, Sadie, I don't know how you do, how can you do that? How can you do that, having heard the stories I heard? And he looked at me with kind of a dumbfounded stare and he said, but Paul, we're Christians. Jesus extended his arms on the hard wood of the cross to take the whole world into his embrace. How can we do anything else? I felt so small. I learned from an African Christian what the nature of healing is all about and how difficult it can be, but how central it is to our calling in life. We're called to be healers, to be reconcilers, those who are known to help people become whole in their life. Kind of in a similar way, as I, you know, as I think about the essence of our faith. What's the essence of the Christian faith? Many people, I think, would say maybe immediately love. It's a religion of love, and that's certainly true without question. But the more I think about, that can be so abstract, and the more I think about where the rubber hits the road, the word that just keeps coming to me all the time is hospitality. In his great work, Reaching Out, Henry Nouwen says that Christianity is characterized by a transition from hostility to hospitality. And boy, at a time when hostility just seems to be in the air we breathe these days, to create safe space, that's what hospitality means. Hospital is the same, you get the same word from the Latin for hospital. Hospitality means creating safe space where we can learn how to love with each other. There are several of you in the room. I see Jay Therrell, your district superintendent over there. Certainly Jay knows, and Debbie knows, I'm sure. Maybe others know the name Jürgen Moltmann. Jürgen Moltmann is a contemporary German theologian. He's 92 now. He will go down in history as the father of the theology of hope. That was the title of a book he wrote, I think, 1973. It was a watershed. It put him on the international landscape of theology, the theology of hope. And I had the opportunity to meet Professor Moltmann when I was a student at Duke Divinity School and working my PhD there. And I mustered up the courage on one of his visits to invite him to lunch. and we shared a wonderful lunch together. And as we sat down, I thought it would be good for me to introduce myself a little more fully to him. So I said, you know, I'm working on my PhD here with Frank Baker in Wesley Studies. And he said, oh, would you like to hear a story about Frank Baker? Yes, I would. So I sat back to kind of take it in. And he said it was during the Second World War, and there was a German prisoner of war camp near Hull in the northeast of England. And nearby, there was a Methodist pastor and his wife, who was also a local pastor, local preacher, who were neighbors there, and they just felt compelled, despite the fact everyone hated these people, they felt compelled to do something to reach out to them, these German prisoners. So they cooked up an idea. They went to the commander, and they said, we'd like your permission to do something kind of strange, irregular. We'd like to come on Sunday morning and pick up one of the German prisoners, take them to our churches to worship in the morning, and then share our Sunday dinner together and bring them back in the afternoon. And he said they were kind of surprised, but they agreed to do it. And so Jürgen said through the course of the war, Frank and Nellie Baker hosted a German prisoner, many of them Luftwaffe pilots and those a part of the German Air Force during the Blitzkrieg who had been shot down, had those German prisoners come to their home, worship together, and share a meal. And then he paused and he said, Paul, one of those young German soldiers was a man by the name of Jürgen Moltmann. And it was at the Baker's Sunday dinner table that the seed of hope was planted in my soul. Hospitality. We never know who we're entertaining. We never know who it is we're welcoming. But like the great Benedictine monastic tradition makes the claim, everybody you entertain, everybody you meet, in fact, you should treat as though they're Christ. And that's exactly what the Bakers did. And that's what we're called to do. That's what early Methodist people did, offered hospitality. And finally, holiness. That's a tough word. Most of us kind of recoil from that. Can't ever become holy, can we really? What is holiness about? For me, I like to simplify things. And for me, it really has a lot to do with light. That's the word that kind of connects in my mind with this this mission that we have in our world, this holiness into which we're called. Not to create the light ourselves, but to become transparent, as it were, to the light that dwells within us through the presence of the Spirit. So let me close with a story that was one of Leslie Weatherhead's favorite stories in preaching. If you don't know that name, Weatherhead was one of the great British Methodist preachers of the mid-20th century. His pastorate was in the city of London during that Blitzkrieg in the Second World War. Phenomenal preacher. We know from his son that this was Leslie's favorite story. So it's about a little boy. There was a little boy who lived in the countryside in England. And the day was coming for him to live out the tradition of their family, which was for the father to take the son to London for a really special day, Dad and Son Day in the city of London. Now, you can imagine what this would mean to a little boy from the countryside who had never been on a train, had never been to a large city. All he knew was his little village. And the day came, and he could hardly sleep the night before. And in the morning, they woke early, they got on the train, special in and of itself, headed into London, and as you can imagine, had an amazing day, seeing as much as they could possibly take in over the course of the day. Back on the train, late at night, and as the mother was tucking this little guy into bed, she asked him, "What, son, what was your favorite part of the day?" He said, we saw a lot of things, but I remember this really big church. And the church was filled with windows. And there were people pictured in the windows, and they were all different colors. And the light shone through those people and made the whole place beautiful. Isn't that our story? Isn't that our mission? Isn't that what holiness is all about? To let God's light shine through us to make all the place beautiful. Jesus says, all authority is given to me. Jesus is number one. Jesus is the core, the center of all we do, of all we are as the people who follow him. He gathers us together into a community, and he invites us to be healing agents in the world, to reconcile, to make new, to help God move people from brokenness to wholeness in life. He asks us to open up space that's safe for people, to create hospitality. And what better place of hospitality is there than this table? Than a meal. He shares a meal with us in the same way that the bakers shared those meals with those German prisoners. And that's where God breaks through. And all of this for the purpose of our mission, to be light in the midst of the darkness. Let us pray. Lord, we are grateful for the heritage in which we stand. But even more so than the Wesleys and Methodism, we're grateful for who you are and who you've shown to us that you are in Jesus through the power of the Spirit. Open our lives that we might let the light shine through for his sake. Amen. What a wonderful privilege it is to come to the table. We're hungry, and God provides food. We're thirsty, and God provides drink for us. God says, come, and I will meet you at the very point of your need as we gather around the table. So join with me in the prayer of great thanksgiving. This is the table, not of the church, but of the Lord. It is made ready for those who love him and who want to love him more. So come, you who have much faith and you who have little. You who have been here often and you who have not been for a long time. You who have tried to follow and you who have failed. There is welcome here for you. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. Gratitude, praise, hearts lifted high, voices full and joyful. These you deserve, O God. For when we were nothing, you made us something. When we had no name and no faith and no future, you called us your children. When we lost our way or turned away, you did not abandon us. When we came back to you, your arms opened wide in welcome. You are worth all our pain and all our praise. So we join our voices to those of the church on earth and in heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord God, as we come to share the richness of your table, we cannot forget the rawness of the earth. We cannot take bread and forget those who are hungry. Your world is one world, and we are stewards of its nourishment. So put our prosperity at the service of the poor. We cannot take wine and forget those who are thirsty, the battered and the rootless. The earth and its weary people cry out for justice, so put our fullness at the service of the empty. We cannot hear your words of peace and forget the world at war. So show us how to turn weapons into welcome signs and the lust for power into a desire for peace. We cannot celebrate the feast of your family and forget our own divisions. History and hurt still dismember us. So, Lord, heal your church in every brokenness. Among his friends gathered around a table, Jesus took bread. He blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body. It is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And later he took the cup of wine, blessed it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is the new relationship with God made possible because of my death. Take this, all of you. Send down your Holy Spirit upon us, gathered here out of love for you, and on these simple gifts of bread and wine, that they may become for us your body, healing, forgiving, and making us whole, and that we may become for you your body, loving and caring in the world until your kingdom comes." And so we proclaim together the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Look, you've prepared a table for us, offering not just bread, not just wine, but your very self, so that we may be filled, forgiven, healed, blessed, and made new again. Thanks be to God. Whenever we break bread together, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? And whenever we share together in the cup, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? We, though we are many, are one, because it is of one body that we all partake. These are the gifts of God for God's beloved children. Thanks be to God.
Eternal God, we thank you for feeding our hearts. And now help us to be channels of that light, the light that comes from you. Shine through us that we might show your light in all of the ordinary places we go this week. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Will you stand as we sing our closing hymn?
Having been fed now by the bounty of twin tables, the table of the word and the table of the sacrament, go out into the world and shine your light. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with each of you now and always. Amen.